Horton v. Graham, Ms. Schwartz.
May it please the Court, my name is Melinda Schwartz, and I'm here today to represent the petitioner, or the appellant, Anthony Horton, on an appeal from the District Court's denial of his writ of habeas corpus from a state court conviction from the District Court. Your Honor, the issue before this Court is whether it was unreasonable for the Wisconsin Court of Appeals to conclude that the exclusion of evidence that it found relevant, that being the relevant evidence of Trina Horton's ultimatum to Mr. Horton's accuser that she would disclose the pregnancy within 5 days if the accuser did not disclose the pregnancy to her mother, and testimony that the accuser, Jessica, confessed to having sex 4 to 5 times with Randy, did not violate Mr. Horton's constitutional right to present a defense where this evidence would undermine.
So is it your argument that she didn't have sex with Horton at all, ever?
Yes. Well, it's our argument that given that this case hinged on the jury's assessment of her accuser's credibility, that was the defense, that she did not have sex with Mr. Horton at all. And that the defense is that Jessica
that fabricated, dragged in Horton. I didn't quite understand that, because after she became pregnant, the cat was out of the bag. It didn't really matter who she'd had sex with, did it? She was pregnant.
But it did matter.
So why would she, after she became pregnant, continue to fabricate a charge against Horton? What did that do for her?
That would absolve herself of responsibility.
No, I don't understand that. I don't understand. How would that absolve herself of responsibility? After she becomes pregnant, we know that this, just a little girl, has had sex, which is obviously wrong and embarrassing and so on. But why would it be important to her, especially once we know Randy is the father, why is it important for her to continue to insist that she also had sex with, why would she want to insist that she also had sex with Horton? What does that do for her?
Okay, and perhaps I should go back. At the time that she disclosed, it was not known that Randy was the father of the child, and in fact...
Yeah, but before the trial it was known, wasn't it?
But not that long before the trial.
Just before the trial. But is she going to perjure herself to implicate Horton? How does that possibly, increase her standing with her parents or what have you?
Well, I thought that that the idea was if he's an adult male forcing himself on her, that's one thing. And if it's her running off to the woods with her boyfriend, it's kind of another thing. But maybe you can explain whether that's true. And maybe you could also explain why it is that the Wisconsin court is so unreasonable to think that even though it would have been better for Trina's testimony to come in the end, it really is impossible to say it would have swung the case his way.
Okay, so your first question, that's precisely what our point is that when you have that it's one thing to say that she was that she became pregnant because she was a victim of sexual assault by an adult, but it's another thing, as Judge Woods pointed out, to say that it was in fact consensual sex that led to the pregnancy, and it was to conceal the fact that it was consensual sex that led to the pregnancy. That was her motive to fabricate these charges against Mr. Horton.
But by the time the trial occurs, it's known that she had sex with Randy and so on. So now Horton isn't accused of forcible, not accused of rape.
Well, he's accused of child sexual assault.
Yes, but that's just because she's a child, not because it's non-consensual. If she's capable of having consensual sex with Randy, she can have consensual sex with Horton. Why does that make her better somehow? We know by the time of the trial she's had sex with Randy and she's become pregnant. Why does she want to say, well, not only did I have sex with Randy and become pregnant, but I also had sex with Horton?
I think, and I'm not clear on this, but there is some indication in the record that she did not want to have sex with Mr. Horton. But with regard to that is that she knows that if she accuses Mr. Horton of sexual assault, that it's going to remove him from the house too. She doesn't like him. She's had him removed because of allegations before.
How old is he, by the way?
Mr. Horton? 29, I believe.
29.
And so she's had allegations before, and she's had him removed. And she doesn't like him. I mean, she's not going to say, in order to protect herself from the responsibility or consequences to her because she's pregnant, she's not going to name somebody that she's like. She's certainly not going to name Randy, because that's going to get him in trouble. That's going to get her in trouble. She's not going to name another person, maybe her favorite uncle or somebody like that, because it's got to be somebody that she doesn't like in order for there to be no consequences to her but consequences to somebody else. And
why doesn't she like him?
She doesn't like him because, I would say that there's evidence that he's the primary disciplinarian in the household. Second of all, her
was
mother...
Was that evidence before the jury, that he was the primary disciplinarian in the household? Did it come into the mother's testimony?
I don't know the answer to that question. Okay. But I know that it did come in that he was the father figure. Okay. And that he had been a father figure for a long time. Number three.
How many years ago was the earlier charge?
I believe approximately 2 years.
And he did serve time for that, did he not?
I believe so, yes.
And that was admitted at trial?
Yes.
The record of that conviction was admitted at trial?
Yes. And, we shouldn't say the record of that conviction, but the facts underlying that conviction were admitted. And
I see.
And it's because of that, because after that happened...
The fact that he was convicted, was that admitted?
What?
The fact that he was convicted, was that admitted? You said the underlying effects. I wonder if the actual fact of conviction was also admitted.
I don't believe that the actual fact that he was convicted of it was admitted, but there was facts that he was removed from the home because of it.
Now, the only other adult individuals who testified, or since they're the only adult individuals who testified, were the mother, am I correct?
That's correct.
And the defendant's sister, and her testimony was truncated by the judge's ruling.
She didn't testify at all.
At all?
At all.
Okay. It's the other youngster whose testimony was truncated.
That's correct.
So there were really what adult testimony was the defense able to marshal?
None. He was only allowed to call one witness. He was only allowed to call the friend of his niece, who was also the best friend of the complainant.
And all she could testify to was what?
What you mean, the facts that were relevant and to his defense?
What did the judge let the little girlfriend testify to?
Tashia. The fact that Anthony initially named, that Jessica said that Randy was the father of the baby at the time that she took the pregnancy test. However, later on, without objection, the defense attorney on rebuttal asked her, why did you ask him if it was Randy who was the father? And so he was able to elicit testimony from her that Tashia had told her that they sometimes had sex, and that she had seen Jessica said they sometimes had sex, and she had seen Jessica and Randy having sex twice.
Thank you.
Okay.
But there was no... I'm sorry.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry.
No adult testified on...
No adult testified
on
behalf. No.
For the defense.
No.
And it's that testimony with respect to your second point that makes it hard for me to see how the state court, at least as to that, was unreasonable. Because if you get as far as the jury having in front of it this sometimes word, whether it was once or sometimes, it seems to me the state court reasonably could have thought that that was enough. Your first point, the absence of Trina's testimony, is different. I mean, it seems to me that's a more important
one. With regard to my second point, I think, first of all, the state concedes that that testimony would have further undermined Jessica's credibility. But also, these are different facts. And I think I make that point pretty clear in my brief, that those facts, the admission to Trina, who, as Judge Ripple has said, is an adult, which is a different corroborating witness, that would have corroborated and strengthened Tashia's testimony. Yeah. And I think that that is really the most compelling reason.
What is the significance of the deadline that Trina gave the victim?
What's the significance of that?
Yes. What was excluded by the jury? I mean, the jury never heard about it.
That's correct.
Why would the defense have wanted that in? What value was that?
Because let's not forget that the disclosure was made on the fourth day of that fifth-day deadline. Okay, Trina learned of Jessica's pregnancy, and she said, well, at least the offer of proof is, if you do not tell your mother, you need to tell your mother you're pregnant, and if you don't do so within 5 days, I'll tell her. On the fourth day, Jessica did disclose to her mother that she was pregnant, but unlike what she told Tashia, she didn't say Randy was the father. She said Mr. Horton was the father. And
so before the DNA comes back,
right,
you've got the victim telling two people different stories, in effect. She told Trina it was Randy?
There's no evidence that Trina actually knew that it was Randy.
Oh, but she
Trina
told knew, the little girl.
She told the
Randy.
Little girl that it was...
Now she's going to tell her mother...
That's correct.
...that it was the boyfriend, the defendant.
Right, and she told her on the fourth day of that fifth-day deadline. Mm-hmm. So why that was so important to the defense is she's on the hot seat. On that fourth day, she's desperate. She has to come up with something before the fifth day. Otherwise, I think it's going to come out that she's pregnant, and it may come out that she's pregnant by Randy. So on that fourth day, she has got to come up with something believable that absolves herself of responsibility for this conduct.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Schwartz. Ms. Moeller?
I'm Marguerite Moeller, representing the respondent appellee, Greg Grams. The state's view of this case is that in no way, shape, or form could the evidence that the trial court excluded be regarded as crucial or vital to the defense theory of the case. The defense theory was that Jessica had lied about Anthony Horton raping her, having sex with her, because she wanted to protect 13-year-old Randy, she wanted to escape moral condemnation, and she wanted to get Horton, who was the primary disciplinarian and who had assaulted her on previous occasions, out of the house. And there was plenty of evidence that the jury already heard, which would have accomplished each of these goals of the defense. It was acknowledged by Tashay Horton's testimony that when Jessica took the pregnancy test, Tashay asked her, so is Randy the father? And that Jessica had admitted, yes, that he probably was. So the jury already knew that at the time of the pregnancy test, Jessica was telling her friend one thing, but yet she lied to the Detective Stein, who was investigating the case, had asked Jessica, well, is there anybody else you're having sex with besides Mr. Horton? And she said no. And that was brought out to the jury. The jury knew that she had denied having sex with anybody other than Horton when she was asked by a police detective. So there was evidence indicating that, yes, she was possibly trying, to protect Randy. So that part of the defense theory was brought out. Also, there was a lot of evidence in the record to show why she would want to get Horton out of the house. 2 years before the charged offense, Jessica had gone to her mother and had complained about Horton fondling her, and the charges were brought, but Ms. Robinson, Jessica's mother, accused her daughter of lying, and as a result, that case was, and this part, the fact that it was plea bargain didn't get to the jury, but the jury knew that Horton had been removed from the house as a direct result of Jessica's earlier allegations. So
was,
the jury,
was that some kind of administrative action, or was he actually convicted?
He
of
was convicted
at that
of. Point? He pled into fourth degree sexual assault because this part isn't before the jury, but there's a transcript that was attached to our answer at a pretrial hearing where the state indicated he'd been charged with first degree sexual assault, but because Jessica's mother was accusing her daughter of lying and actually took her out of the state when she was supposed to appear in court, they plea bargained it down to a fourth degree. But the jury knew that she had made prior allegations of Horton molesting her when she was 9, and that as a direct result, he was out of the house for approximately a year. So the jury was aware of that. The jury also knew that Horton had been physically violent towards Deborah Robinson and towards both Jessica and her brother, and that would give her further motive to falsely accuse him. So the jury was aware of all of this evidence. The fact that Trina Horton gave an ultimatum, tell your mom in 5 days or I'm going to tell her, really only helps to explain possibly the timing. Does not help to explain why Jessica would put, you know, finger Horton as her assailant instead of just saying, I was raped by somebody else or by an unknown assailant, why she would point the finger at him, especially since her mother had disbelieved her in the past when she accused Horton of molesting her. So it maybe explains a little bit of the timing, but the timing is also explained by the fact that she'd just taken this pregnancy test 4 days earlier. Her friend Tashea knew that Jessica was pregnant. Trina Horton had accompanied them to the mall when the test was taken, and even though she might not have been directly involved, I think it was reasonable to assume that Trina was going to find out, and Trina is the defendant's sister. So the jury had all of this evidence, so I don't see really how the Court of Appeals could be regarded as acting unreasonably in saying that this did not violate Mr. Horton's right to present a defense.
Ms. Bowler, could you summarize for me what the state's case was against Mr. Horton? What affirmative evidence did you have that he had molested the victim?
The state's case primarily consisted of the testimony of Jessica Robinson, and then prior acts evidence that on an earlier occasion he had molested her and been prosecuted for doing so. Then there was a testimony of another girl named Keonia Evans, who at the time of trial was, I believe, 17, but she had also been the victim of fondling by Mr. Horton under circumstances that were very similar to those that occurred in this case. And then we also had expert testimony from Elizabeth Gallardi, who talked about the reporting behaviors and disclosures of sexual assault victims and how the behavior of the victim in this case was consistent with that. So it was basically Jessica, the two other acts, and then the expert testimony.
How old was Jessica when she testified?
I believe she was still 11.
Oh, really?
She was 9 when the first assaults occurred, 11 when the charged assault, and I think this was brought to trial fairly quickly.
And was she cross-examined?
Yes, she was.
Did the cross-examination, was the cross-examination aimed at showing that, that she had a motive for fabricating a charge against Horton?
Definitely. And one of the things they asked her on cross-examination was whether or not she had told Trina Horton that she had had sex with Randy 4 or 5 times, and Jessica denied telling, you know, saying this. Now, Trina didn't testify, but Tashea, who was supposedly Jessica's best friend, said that she had witnessed Jessica having sex with Randy at least twice, and that Jessica had said, we sometimes have sex. So even when Jessica got on the stand and said that she only had sex with Randy once, the jury knew that Tashea at least claimed to have witnessed it twice, and that her friend Jessica had made statements indicating she had sex with Randy sometimes. So,
that just is an irrelevant detail. Was Randy prosecuted?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is this some particular community in which these activities go on? Is this rural or is this urban?
This is urban Milwaukee, and it's a very sad situation because this girl was not only molested by Horton and had sex with Randy, but she had also been sexually assaulted by an uncle when she
so
was
is the, are
even
these
younger.
Poor people, is this?
Yes.
Poor? Okay, well.
In closing, we just ask that you affirm the district court's judgment denying the writ of habeas corpus.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Muller. Ms. Schwartz, your time ran out. We'll give you a minute if you have anything further you'd like to say. You don't have to. It won't be taken against you, but. Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were requested to represent Horton?
He applied to the.
Right, so it's a pro bono, yeah. So we thank you for your work on behalf of him. Okay, so court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.